Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Hey, welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road is live from Indianapolis. The NFL Combine getting underway today. It's big times up there in Indy. Joe Rex Road, what's going on?
Yeah, not much. Little hotel artwork behind me here.
It's beautiful.
So hope you enjoy that. Some nice curtains. Yep, it's the place is packing with NFL coaches, GMs, media, hopeful players. Pretty exciting week.
Michelle, what's going on with you? Michelle's got her voice in full power today.
Yes, my voice is back, a little raspy, but a lot better than yesterday. I'm not squeaking.
Now we can talk about Rupp Arena all day.
No. My stepdad goes, they were busting on you about Rupp Arena. I was like, Dan, I can't speak. So I just let him have it. No, doing good here. Robbie and I are a little tired this morning, Joe. So we're going to get through this, though.
It's going to be a good day. Real good day.
Robbie seems chipper to me.
Oh, I'm chipper. I'm always chipper.
He's always chipper. I'm back here like major designer bags under my eyes, but it's okay.
So, Joe, what does the schedule look like today? For those of us who have never been to the NFL Combine, what does one do at the NFL Combine?
First of all, like this is pre – so this is the media part basically, sure. You know. This is the opportunity to talk to everybody part, so – basically, there's just a huge – it's at the Indiana Convention Center, which is right here in downtown Indy, and it's just this massive sprawling place. There's a radio row, but there's all these podiums. And basically, every 15 minutes, you get someone new at the podium. So today and tomorrow will be – well, today is strictly coaches and GMs. Tomorrow, coaches, GMs, and then you start bringing in the prospects. And so they just start going to various tables, and you can just go, talk to whoever you want. So, I mean, it's kind of a free-for-all. And now, again, that's if they run it like they've done it. Last year, this did not exist. 2 years ago, this happened right before COVID. And, of course, it looks like I think it's going to be mostly like a normal event this year. But yeah, I mean, look, it's all pretty boring. I mean, it's just us talking to all these people. It's for a lot of them, it is the first time they've talked to, reporters like since the end of the season. Now a lot of them do other stuff between now and then. Like for John Robinson, John Robinson hasn't talked to anybody in Nashville. He did talk in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, but this will be Vrabel's, other than red carpet stuff, first time talking. And they're both tomorrow.
Very nice. Can you explain to me how Indianapolis is on Eastern time? I'm looking at a map of the United States. It's like directly north of Nashville. It may be slightly a little bit more east, but it's directly north. How is this happening?
Yeah, well... They would ask why we're on Central Time.
They would,
But they used Indy used to be they used to go between Eastern and Central, I believe. So they used to be partially part of the year on Central and not do daylight savings. And somewhere in the last few years, that changed to where they're strictly an Eastern time zone city. If I'm wrong on that, you Colts fans who like to hate listen to our show, let me know on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But I believe that is true. It's interesting because if you go north from there, if you look at the state of Michigan and go all the way. So, I'm originally from the west side where Climax, Michigan is,
correct,
as you may know. So that's the whole state is Eastern time zone. So again, during the summers, you can play baseball outside till like 10:30 p.m. No problem. It's amazing.
It's incredible. Really.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But yeah, very. To your point, it probably should be Central Time on that stuff.
It was just fascinating to me. I looked at the map, and that was the question that I had. So I'm glad that you had a history lesson for us there. Well done, Joe Rexroad.
It may be inaccurate, but I mean, I think I'm right.
We're going with it.
Yeah.
How about Ja Morant last night? Look, Ja Morant has been awesome all season long. I think last night was probably the best game of his career. He ends up with 52 points, which is a Grizzlies franchise record that he broke of himself that I believe he set the other day. 52 points last night. He hit a 36-footer in this game, so basically from the FedEx Forum logo. He had one of the greatest and most disrespectful dunks I think I've ever seen in my entire life, and he had potentially the greatest buzzer beater floating out of bounds that I think I've ever seen in my life as well, Joe Rexroad. It was pretty sensational what Ja Morant did last night, and I hope that people in the Nashville area are watching what's happening over there in Memphis.
It's something else. It really is. And, you know, he's doing it. To me, he's the MVP. I think he's going to win MVP. Is he going to win MVP?
He better. He's got to be close. I mean, I know Steph's there, and there's a lot of good candidates, but he's a freak.
Yeah, I mean, Steph, you know, early in the season was, I think, probably running away with it, but I think that's changed a lot, you know, for him and them being so up and down. So it's remarkable how good this guy is. I mean, it really is. Memphis has had some good teams and some great players and all that stuff, but they've never had anything like this. Whenever a night like this happens, I automatically think like, gosh, I hope he stays there, you know? And then I also wonder, to your point there, how much can this city embrace that team? You know, I mean, you know, Memphis, Nashville aren't exactly best friends. Doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of carryover either way with Nashville's teams and Memphis's teams. But my gosh, I can't wait to get down there and whenever it's possible and see him again. It's special, and you know, that team has a chance to. Well, they got a chance to be the 2 seed, and you could definitely see a Grizzlies Warriors series that could be pretty tremendous. And they seem to match up well with the Warriors. But the out of bounds play. Like, I don't even know how he did that. Like, I actually give some credit to Steven Adams' throw too. Steven Adams
pass
on the show for 2 straight days.
I'm cool with Steven Adams being talked about on the show every single day, 365 days a year. But yeah, it was a great pass by Steven Adams on that play. I had me some NBA action last night. I was going back and forth. I watched my beloved Miami Heat destroy the Chicago Bulls. Ryan Poore's Chicago Bulls, no match for the Miami Heat last night, who are right now the best team in the Eastern Conference. Just throwing that out there. And I flipped back once I saw Ja was going crazy and watched some Memphis or the rest of the Memphis game. Now, look. He was obviously feeling it last night. He shot the ball 30 times last night. He made 22 of them. So when you're shooting 22 of 30, you can shoot as much as you want. But the fact of the matter is, like, when he is making threes, which he still has got, you know, he's not the greatest three-point shooter. He's shooting, I think, 34% from three this year. But when he's making threes, I mean, there's nothing you can do. He was 4 for 4 from three last night. When he's got the ability to stand there outside and you've got to worry about that, plus, you got to worry about him taking it to the hole and just cramming one on you. Like, there's not much you can do about that guy.
Yeah, I mean, his creativity is just he's elastic too. You know, and then to your point, you know, and now he's worked. You know, he's worked himself to the point of, like you said, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be like a 40% 3-point guy, but he can keep people honest now. You can't just automatically go under all the time on him.
Yeah.
And it's been remarkable. And I mean, how much better could he get? I don't know. If he doesn't get any better, he's an MVP candidate. But it's something else. And that team, it was cool seeing like how much they were like his teammates were doing all they could to get him to 50 last night too. You know, they just seem to be a fun team that, you know, with good chemistry, good culture, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, look, he's 22 years old, which is just absurd to think about that he's only 22 and how much better he could get here. I was I was wondering when he first started in Memphis, I was wondering, would he ever be good enough where he can attract some big name guys to play with him in Memphis? You know, forget the next contract, wherever, you know, obviously one day he's going to get paid an absolute ton of money, whether that's in Memphis, outside of Memphis, whatever. But while
this
he's
summer.
In, yeah, I mean, this summer, I mean, he's going to get paid a ton of money, but I'm talking even further beyond that. Like, he's going to get massive amounts of money one day. Like, can he be good enough to attract players to play with him in Memphis? Now, look, they deserve a lot of credit. The team that they've built basically via the draft at this point is really, really good. So they're in a great spot. But to answer that question, Joe Rexroad is yes. He is good enough to where I think, you know, some free agents that'll be out there over the next few years, they will consider playing in Memphis when they otherwise wouldn't have for no other reason than to play with him. I fully believe that.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Because, look, of course, there's, you know, people think about market and all this stuff, and that's all fine. But you want to go where there's potential championships too, where there's a great player and a great player who, you know, it's like with LeBron. Yeah, I mean, LeBron, the best player for so long. Also, a guy who like gets, you know, is a great passer, gets people involved, plays the right way. And, you know, Ja Morant is someone who, you know, if you're a scorer, you want to play with him. He's going to get you shots. So I agree. I think people will want to come to Memphis to play with him. I think he's going to sign with Memphis this year, the max deal. And, I mean, it would be stunning if he didn't at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And, again, that team, like you said, I mean, they're not – I thought a year ago, like, they've got to somehow find a way to get, like, a star – you know, top shelf wing. And hey, I mean, that'd still be good. But with Desmond Bane this year, been such a huge addition. I mean, they've got a lot of pieces that, 43 and 20, it's not a small sample size. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the NBA.
Apparently, Allen Iverson, a big fan, according to Michelle. What's not to be a fan of Ja Morant?
Yeah, he tweeted his jersey out. Said, sooner than later, Ja.
AI loves him some Ja Morant. Look, I mean, you're talking about, and we've had this discussion, but stars in our state, you know, Roman Yossi's a star. Derrick Henry obviously is a star. This guy has the potential to be the biggest one of them all, if he's not already.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, it's also, that's kind of what the NBA is too, you know. I mean, it's
sure.
A star league. And you know, your individual greatness and creativity in that game, you know, is highlighted. But I'd say it's probably statewide. That'd be, I think, Ja Morant and Derrick Henry right now.
Yeah.
You know, statewide, that would be a very interesting, if we could somehow figure out, like, you know, who's more popular or whatever you want to, you know, however you want to frame it. Ja Morant's coming up fast. There's no doubt about that. Does Nashville care about Ja Morant?
Well, that's the question. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, finally some love for the Grizzlies. I wish Nashville would put more respect and acknowledge the Tennessee team. Grizz Nation is coming from a texter on the text line. I'm all about some Grizzlies talk. I just wonder how much people in Nashville care. Because I've had mixed results on that.
Well, you know, so think back to the Preds and even like in, I know in Memphis, but certainly I know in Knoxville for sure, like when they made their run in 2017, okay, that started to become the big story everywhere,
yeah.
You know, and there were watch parties in those cities and things like that. You know, I think once we get to playoff time, if they're playing like, especially like, you know, they get deep in the playoffs, then I think you'll see more attention for that, more people talking about it and watching it. But I'd love to know, you know, the ratings here for Grizz games. Are they have they changed at all, like this year compared to the last few years?
Yeah, it's a great question. Jordan on the text line, by the way, says, I'm a Colts fan. Love y'all's show. Our media is trash. It's coming from Jordan on the text line. Jordan, we appreciate you listening.
Colts media is trash?
That's what he said. I'm just
bite
reading the text.
Your tongue. No, you got some great media at Indy. Come on.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. A very interesting story brewing out in Arizona with Kyler Murray. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, I'd probably be more interested in the Grizzlies if they would play a game or three at Bridgestone every now and then. I've heard that before, like a Preds Grizzlies swap for a weekend or something like that. I don't necessarily hate the idea. I just know that that's probably not ever going to happen.
Well, I hadn't even thought about the swap. That's kind of cool, though. I like that idea. Now, it's a much bigger ask the other way, probably, yeah. Right? So I don't know about that. But
creating ice is difficult.
Yeah, for sure. But the Grizzlies playing here is actually that's a very good idea. I mean, the Detroit Pistons, for example, they would always go to the west side of the state playing Grand Rapids, play like, I mean, you know, like a preseason game or yep. two, but still just to get people on the other side of a state from the east side of the west side able to see them live, which when they were really good, you know, it's like when they were really good, those games were packed.
Yeah.
So now would be the time to get something here. And why? I mean, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things, like if you're them, it's like, well, not giving up even one of the 41 home dates for everything that goes with it. You know, the home yeah. court, the concessions, all that stuff. But yeah, like a preseason or something.
Why preseason, not? I think would be a good idea. The regular season has no chance. Zero. It's not going to happen. Let's go back to the text line. Westside texting in says, I love the Grizzlies, the Pistons, and LeBron. However, you have people like Jared saying no one cares, so turn the page. It's coming from Westside on the text line. Taking a shot at Jared.
We can't do a show without somebody. You know, a lot of these shots at Jared are coming from the outside.
That is true.
They're not originating from us.
Although I have one later.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be great, too. I can't wait. So Jared saying that no one cares about the NBA or basketball in general?
I think he's just saying Grizzlies in this town.
Oh, Grizzlies in this town, yeah. Well, look, I mean, I think for the most part that's been pretty true.
Yeah.
You know, when they've been bad or middling, I think that's true. Look, he's the type of guy, I think the whole league is mesmerized by this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the country, the basketball watching country is mesmerized by this guy, as they should be. I remember him, you know, his second year at Murray State, and you're like, whoa, look at this guy. But even then, I mean, I guess it wouldn't have been 2 years ago, three years ago, you know, they won a game in the NCAA tournament, and you knew he was going to be a high pick and probably a good player in the NBA, but he continues to take steps. He's superstar level now. So when you have that, I mean, that's, you've never had that.
No,
those Memphis teams were great. You know, Z-Bo, love Zach Randolph,
and, Mike Conley,
and Tony Allen. I mean, you know, great. Sure. You know, Gasol. I mean, those are really good, solid teams. Grind City, all that stuff. They've never had this.
No, not even close. And those were good teams. This is a good team too, but they've got a great player, a truly great player. And if you've not watched him, I would encourage you to do so, because if you're a basketball fan at all, you will love some Ja Morant. I don't think there's any question about it. Joe, the Kyler Murray situation has taken a turn, and it took a public turn yesterday. This has been quite the saga so far this offseason with Kyler Murray in Arizona. It started with, if you remember, him basically deleting anything associated with the Arizona Cardinals off his Instagram page, which caused a big storm back then. There was then some reporting that was done that apparently he was upset with the organization with the playoff loss, and apparently they pinned too much on him, or he thought that they allowed too much blame to be tossed his way. And now a statement put out there yesterday from Eric Burkhart, which is Kyler Murray's agent, basically laying out the terms for a new contract, saying that a new contract offer from Murray's side of it is on the table for the Cardinals, that he wants a long-term commitment right now. Now, let me start by saying this. I think Kyler Murray is going to get another contract with the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, he's the first overall pick. He was the Offensive Rookie of the Year in his first season. He's made a couple Pro Bowls. You know, I think when he's been on, he's been really good. So I think he's going to get another contract with Arizona eventually. But if I'm the Cardinals, like you've just played your third year, I'm going to pick up your fifth-year option this year. I'm not giving you a new contract right now. It's just not happening. So this standoff that apparently Kyler Murray is going through after his third year is pretty hilarious to me. Like, this is how the NFL works, dude. You were the first overall pick. You're going to get 5 years on your contract. They're going to pick up your fifth-year option, and that's going to be the way it is. Like, this idea that he feels like he's owed a new contract right now, to me, is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't see this happen too much, but you do see non-rookie deal situations get changed, get renegotiated. You know, a player outplays his contract.
But has he outplayed his contract?
Well, I think he outplays what he's getting paid, for sure. Like, to your point, this is a rookie deal. Doesn't mean a team can't do that. Look, it's a stretch, but the point made by the agent too is like, you know, if you renegotiate, you can do cap things and all that stuff and structure it so you can still sign free agents and blah blah blah. I mean, I don't think this. I think this will happen again. You know, when you have a quarterback who, again, rookie of the year, two Pro Bowls, granted, very disappointing ends to the seasons and not the absolute best in the league. I mean, where is Kyler Murray right now in the NFL? Is Kyler Murray, is he a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? Is he a top 12?
He's right there on the fringe, yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, again, should that get paid more than he's getting paid? Yeah, but it's your rookie contract. Like you said, you pick up a fifth-year option, and then you get your deal. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's like this crazy out-of-bounds thing to try. You know, if you're playing a game where you're – career can be over in the blink of an eye, but the whole thing's been weird. You do all the posts without, and there's all these cryptic posts, then you have this long thing from his agent. I mean, just like, let's write a book about it. My favorite thing on the internet is this meme that Colton Pouncey tweeted last night to this, but many people have quoted it. This is the meme. I ain't reading all that. Excuse me. I ain't reading all that. I'm happy for you, though. Or sorry that happened.
Yes, yes.
Well, I saw that to every super long thing that you ever see on the internet.
I saw it. I think the statement came out like right as we were getting off the air yesterday, and I saw Schefter tweet it out, and there was so much wordage in there that you couldn't see any of the words. Like, you had to, like, zoom in, and I was like, I'm not doing that. We can talk about this tomorrow. Yeah. I'm totally not doing that right now.
Now, I counted on others to read it and write about it, which was very helpful. So thank you to NFL media.
Look, I mean, Kyler Murray, I think, is a really good player. I just – this whole offseason with him has left me kind of scratching my head. First off, the deleting stuff off your Instagram stuff to me is just – it's so stupid. Like, why? Grow up a little bit. Let's stop deleting everything off the Instagram and acting like you're 14 years old. That's not what I want to see out of my franchise quarterback. You know, I get it. You're trying to negotiate and get yourself more money. And look, we've talked about this here on the show. I'm never against players getting more money. If they want to try to get more money, do whatever you want to do. If I'm Arizona, I'm not even entertaining this right now. You can do whatever you want. And, you know, if you want to threaten to sit out, knock yourself out. I'm not entertaining giving you a contract extension right now. Once you go prove to me that you can do this for another couple of years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And the thing with Kyler Murray is, you know, there have been, you know, you got to separate like media stuff from other stuff. I mean, some people just hate the media, but they're great, you know, in the locker room. That's what matters, you know. He is definitely like thin-skinned and sort of just weirdly sensitive at times. You know, when he's talking about games, I feel like he's a good leader. You know, he's a heck of a talent. Obviously, if he was, you know, 3-4 inches taller, then it'd be, because that's basically that. Sometimes it still gets him, his height, you know, gets him. But he's way. I mean, there's a lot of people who thought that he was just too small, and he's blown that up. I mean, he's a spectacular talent. But that's the thing. If you're the Cardinals, it's all like there's all this stuff. The media stuff, the social media stuff, but what is it day after day in the building? You know, is he not only we know what kind of talent he is, but is he who you want, like, to be leading your team, you know, for years? I will agree with you that, like, the preoccupation with stuff like this is a little weird, you know, but I mean, your guy's weird too. A lot of weird quarterbacks in this league.
Oh, my guy's weird. There's a little bit of a difference between my guy and Kyler Murray.
Yes, but at times, both make me scratch
my head. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. Speaking of first-round quarterbacks, could the Titans consider taking a quarterback with their first-round pick in this year's NFL draft? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game tomorrow night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cade. You can have drink specials, enter win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Seattle Kraken. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. Puck drops at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit Little Guys Franchise. .com. Joe Rexroad is live in Indianapolis this morning in preparation in advance of the NFL Combine. And Joe, one of the things that I am interested to see is how seriously the Titans are considering taking a quarterback in this draft. We asked Corey Curtis from News 2 about this yesterday, and he said he thinks it's a possibility that the Titans take a quarterback in the first round. And there are, you know, there's all sorts of names out there at the quarterback position. Sam Howell's out there, Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis. The list goes on and on with potential first-round quarterbacks this year. I ask you, Joe Rexroad, how much do you think the Titans will consider drafting a quarterback in the first round? How much do you think they should consider drafting a quarterback in the first round with all the different needs that this team has and the roster as is, the AFC's number one seed a year ago? How do you think the Titans go about handling this?
Well, It's very hard to answer, and it's worth asking some questions this week. Probably not going to get a full, detailed breakdown of like the percentage chance they draft a QB. But to me, it's, you have to evaluate the quarterbacks as closely as anything. I guess you could say in every year you should have every position broken down and all that. But it's different now. I mean, you're moving toward the next quarterback, one way or the other, just because your quarterback is getting older. I mean, he's in his mid-30s. So, I mean, you have to start thinking that way. Anyway, separate from the way Tannehill played in the playoffs, to me, it's full evaluation. And then you have to decide, is there someone in this draft you strongly believe is your next starter? Like someone good enough to be, you know, your franchise quarterback for years to come. If that person exists and you have a chance to get that quarterback, then I think you have to seriously consider it. Now, I understand the argument against, which is, but this team is, look at where this team still is. It's still a division winning team coming off the number one seed. How are you not going to spend your top pick on something to help that team? That's why you don't go into it saying, well, draft a quarterback or no. It's, is there someone that through all these evaluations that you say, yep, Desmond Ridder is the guy. Some one way or another, got to get him. Obviously, you know, well, as a Packers fan, the potential cost of using a first round pick on a quarterback when you have a great quarterback and you have a team that's right on the cusp of winning it all. But that's not the same situation as the Titans.
It is not. Now, I will say it's similar from this regard. Like, I still feel like the Titans believe that they're in a window to win right now. So, to me, if you're taking a quarterback in the first round, you have to be convinced that he is a stud. Like, you have to be convinced that he is going to be your guy for the next 10 years whenever Ryan Tannehill's done. Like, to me, that's the only way you're taking a quarterback. Like, you're not taking a quarterback in the first round this year and hoping that, maybe after, you know, 2 or 3 years of development sitting behind Ryan Tannehill, that he can be good. Like, don't do that with your quarterback pick this year. You better be in love with the guy. And, look, maybe they find that guy. I don't know. I mean, you hear people talk about this quarterback draft class. There's not a lot of hype about this quarterback class. Now, as this week starts to happen and people start to throw and measurables are thrown out there, and, you know, we remember what it was like last year when Zach Wilson was at the combine and he was making all these throws left and right. People started to fall in love with Zach Wilson, and we legitimately had conversations last year. Well, who's going to be the first quarterback? Like, is Zach Wilson going to jump over Trevor Lawrence? Like, that was being talked about last year because of the combine and because of some of the throws that he was making. So that has an opportunity to change here over the next couple of weeks. But this quarterback class is not as hyped as some others have been. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be one or two guys in this class that go on to play really well and have really good careers in the NFL. But to me, if you're the Titans, to even consider drafting a quarterback in the first round, with the team being what it is right now and the needs that they have, you have to be absolutely 100% in love with a guy. And I find it unlikely that happens.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, and that's exactly it. It's got to be, this is the guy. And how likely is it that the quarterback you believe is that good would be available or even attainable, you know, only moving up a few spots? Probably not high, but hey, people have different evaluations of quarterbacks. You know, yep. Patrick Mahomes was not universally beloved coming into that draft. Mitch Trubisky, at least by one team, was thought to be incredible. Like Jordan Love, when the Packers drafted him, I honestly don't remember. Like, was he largely expected to go in that range of the first round? Or did they kind of reach for him?
No, he was expected to go in that range. Now, I don't really know why when you watched him play at college, but he was expected to. And I said that at the time. Yeah. Like, that's not even me talking now, having watched him play. Like, even at the time, we had discussions about it. Like, I don't know about Jordan Love in the first round. But, yes, he was expected to go in that late first round range.
But as far as the whole, it's not a good QB class. Yeah, there are years where it's an incredible, you know, cornerback class, and then five of the top six don't do anything, or it's a terrible, you know, quarterback crop. Well, then if one or two are great, then okay.
Well,
the years where it's supposed to be a great QB crop, go back and look at how many of them were busts. Most of them were.
Well, when we start talking about draft class, like, I think back to, what was it, 2006, when Vince got picked. I mean, that draft that year, you had Mario Williams, Reggie Bush, Vince, you know, Matt Leinart was in there. Like, there were guys that were supposed to be great coming out of college. And think about those guys. Like, you know, Reggie Bush was a good player in the NFL for a long time. I don't think that Reggie Bush ever lived up to where he was drafted. You know, Vince Young obviously did not live up to where he was drafted. Matt Leinart, I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, Jay Cutler was the best quarterback in that draft, and it's not even really close. So that was supposed to be this great draft class, especially at the top, and it really wasn't. So sometimes the information that you think you know going into the draft doesn't always play out that way on the field.
You can't know how a player's going to fit, how healthy they're going to stay, what they're going to do on a daily basis, all those things. Like Matt Leinart, I mean, I was surprised. I figured he'd be a heck of an NFL quarterback, and it was apparent pretty early. Like, he's just not very good.
Yeah.
You know? So that's also, I mean, he's like the opposite of, you know, it's like you got guys like Jordan Love, and sometimes you know, the quarterbacks from like lower levels, and it's like, okay, if you dominate at that level, what, you know, what does that mean? You know, Leinart's one of those, maybe, you know, when you're on a super team of that that loaded and everything is easy for you, then it's hard to get an evaluation that way.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Dave on Twitter says, don't bother with the quarterback. If we're rolling with Ryan Tannehill, then we need to stack everything around him. This is coming from Dave on Twitter. So, Dave, not much interest in taking a first-round quarterback.
I think most people would probably agree with that. You know, I think you probably have a lot more people saying, yes, go get the proven commodity if you can get the proven commodity. But, you know, drafting the rookie, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't do much for you this year. I suppose, you know, if Tannehill faltered, you could have a Tannehill situation from 3 years ago where the rookie eventually takes over. But yeah, then what, I mean, look at what you've forfeited around. You have so many needs on that side of the ball in particular to get better. But again, if it is absolutely, this is going to be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans for a decade and he's going to win championships here, and oh my gosh, it's amazing that he's there. Well, draft him.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How much should the Titans consider taking a quarterback in the first round? We'll get to more of your thoughts coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So Rex Road figuring out the coffee on the stream. It's good stuff. Michelle is enjoying every second of Joe trying to figure out the coffee on the stream. Joe's back on with us now.
Joe, how's that coffee over there?
I know how to work a Keurig. It's an in-room Keurig.
Hey,
I think it's working.
That's fancy. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Indy? They spare no expense up there.
I mean, the Keurig, look at those curtains. I mean, look at these curtains.
I know. Just beautiful.
Beautiful. Come on.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How much should the Titans consider drafting a quarterback with their first-round pick? Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Devin from Dover texting in says, I don't think you can take a quarterback in the first round simply because you don't have a second-round pick and you have too many needs elsewhere. Tight end, and I would really like a burner-type receiver. This coming from Devin from Dover on the text line. So Devin arguing that, you know, not you take a quarterback in the first round, you don't have a second-round pick, all of a sudden you have a lot of needs not being addressed in the draft if you're the Titans at that point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, you know how this goes. What's your top three players that you wish the Packers would have drafted when they drafted Jordan Love?
Well, a couple of them went before because Justin Jefferson was right there, and when he fell to Minnesota, I was like, oh god. I think Brandon Ayuk went to pick before, so when they moved up, I was just like, I was wanting to move back because those are the two guys I wanted, and I was like, just move back, just move on out, just take on out, and then they moved up and got a quarterback.
But there has to be somebody.
I'm sure there is. Like, I haven't even looked at it. I'm sure there is. That was just – the quarterback taken was unbelievable to me.
I can't believe you haven't spent hours going through all the guys who the Packers could have right now.
I mean, I could do that. I thought it was common sense not to take quarterback when you have Aaron Rodgers, but apparently it wasn't.
Well, yeah, if the Titans were to take a quarterback, obviously they're giving up a great player somewhere else. They are not fully investing to, quote, be great around Tannehill if they do that. Yeah, again, I don't think they're going to, but I think that they have to be prepared as they go through this whole process to at least think about that position, right? I mean, you got to know what you're talking about. And look, if you go through all the things, if you go through everything, you've gone through the film, all these workouts happen this week and, you know, pro days and all that stuff, but especially like the interviews, I think, and you're just like blown away by someone, well, then that changes things.
Yeah, by the way, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman Jr., Jonathan Taylor, all taken within about 13 picks after Jordan Love. It's good stuff.
Decent.
Enjoy the heck out of it. Let's go to Twitter. Don on Twitter says, the Titans should consider any player that can play in the first round. Hashtag Farley, hashtag Wilson. So, not taking a shot at the Titans for drafting players that have not been able to play thus far in the first round. It would be nice, I will say, would be nice to have a first-round pick this year that could play, I don't know, 10 games, 12 games, 14 games for you in their first year. That'd be nice.
That would be helpful. You know, you can't keep going year after year. Very different situations there, obviously. I mean, Isaiah Wilson, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, like there'll be a reference to Isaiah Wilson.
Yep.
Right, at the Titans draft. But Caleb Farley, that story's far from being written at this point. And if he's one of the biggest stories of this year. But still, yes, last year, what if you had someone else? What if you drafted someone who was more instant impact? Would that have made a difference in the bottom line of the team? I don't know. If Caleb Farley ends up being a great player, then you're gonna feel fine about things. But yeah, you're at the point now, well, especially with those guys not going, you know, with those picks going the way they have. I mean, not to mention other picks in the last two drafts. I mean, you've got to have some instant impact from this draft, certainly from your first round pick.
Got a texture that says, don't forget hashtag Simmons, though. LOL. There was that. Jeffrey Simmons, pretty good pick in the first round. Now, I will say, Jeffrey Simmons has worked out well. I think he's going to get a second contract here with the Titans. They got to find a way to hit a little bit higher on their first-round picks. I mean, Rashawn Evans didn't really work out. You know, Dory Jackson, Corey Davis, Isaiah Wilson, obviously. We'll see about Caleb Farley. But they've got to have a higher hit rate on their first-round picks.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the last draft that was not disrupted by world events was the best draft John Robinson's had, and it was a terrific draft top to bottom.
Yep.
I think they missed on one guy. So if you want to be an optimistic Titans fan, you could look at that and say, now maybe with things more returning to the normal routine, that will help. That, you know, they'll get back to having good drafts. They need one, though. They need one for sure. And I agree. Like, I don't know what the exact number is. You can't possibly give second deals to every first round pick. The math doesn't work, but you want more than one in a 6 year span for sure.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a texture that says, get rid of first round for more picks later. First round has not been good as of late for the Titans. Look, I'm not moving back out of the first round because I'm scared of a first round pick because it hasn't been good if I'm the Titans. That's
no,
not a good way to operate. I don't hate the idea.
You need to quit then.
Yeah, like if that's the way you operate, it's time to find a new GM. But I don't hate the idea of moving back and getting more picks. Like, and we heard Corey Curtis talk about that yesterday. I think the phrase he used was he is beating the drum for the Titans to do that and acquire more picks. With not having a second rounder, if you could move back and acquire more picks earlier in the draft, I am not against that if I'm John Robinson and the Titans.
No, for sure. It just – who wants to move into that spot and why?
Right.
In all likelihood, it would probably be someone who really covets one of those quarterbacks who wants to move into that spot. So you need that first. You can't count on it. You can't plan to do that because you have to have the team that has the desire to get to that spot. But if that opportunity presented itself, then I think that could be really good. I also still think that pick could yield you a really good receiver. Yep. And that's the thing about when you talk about it, oh, it's a loaded whatever position draft or it's weak. When it's loaded, that's when you got guys who would normally go higher in a given year who are falling to you at that position. And that happens to be a position that to me the Titans really need to look at strongly. After not really doing, you know, not doing enough last year, I mean, they signed Josh Reynolds. That didn't work out. Dead Fitzpatrick so far. I mean, you look at some of the other receivers who went in the draft last year, and then you look at Dez Fitzpatrick, you know. Doesn't mean he can't get better, but not great. So this is another opportunity with so many, to me, talented and ready-to-play receivers to use the pick on that.
Chad on the text line says, all I've heard is that Tannehill is just Joe Flacco and Trent Dilfer. If everyone truly thinks that, then go get Tannehill a defense like those two had. All defense draft and free agents. Set him up to succeed. This is coming from Chad on the text line. I mean, look, I don't think anybody's going to confuse the Titans defense last year from, you know, for the 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears. But the Titans defense last year was good enough to win. I mean, they had 9 sacks in the playoff game. I don't know how much better you want the defense to get realistically in today's NFL. Like, I'm not saying they can't get better, but in today's NFL where it's things are really slanted towards the offense and it's harder than ever at times to play coverage defense with the rules that are in place, like, Titans defense is pretty good by the end of last year.
Yeah, I don't know that, you know, I don't know that just investing in all defensive players is the way to go. For one thing, like, then you got you're investing in a bunch of players who aren't going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, depth is good, but I think if you want to help your quarterback, don't you need to give your quarterback actual players on his side of the ball? I mean,
yeah, like, if I'm up with the quarterback, number one, I'm trying to make sure that, you know, he can stay upright. So that's priority number one. And number two, I give him some weapons to throw the ball to. You know, in a perfect world to me, Julio Jones is your number three next year if I'm the Titans. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the case immediately, but I'm hoping that at some point, whether it's in free agency or in the draft, you can find a receiver that comes in and can be your number two behind A.J. Brown. That's the hope to me, at least. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that would be a pretty good look for this offense if Julio Jones was your number three.
Right, and if you had an actual number one tight end. And somehow, if you are better on off on the offensive line, this is where it gets like, how do you do all this?
Right.
I don't know. But it's definitely not by loading up on defensive. I mean, defensively, where can you absolutely get better in the short term? I mean, especially if you keep Zach Cunningham, you're awfully good there. Pretty good up front. If you keep your edge guys, you're awfully good there. You're pretty good at safety. I mean, like, the only place where I would look would be, can you upgrade at cornerback? And to me, that's based on the cap, especially if you're keeping all the people I just mentioned. How are you getting someone? How are you adding someone? Maybe a tight end? Then you still have to be creative and hurt yourself in other places. So the cornerback investment or the upgrade at cornerback is your first-round pick from 2021.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.